Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Memorial Day. We want to make sure that I think particularly the young people understand what this day means, and so many that gave the ultimate sacrifice before us. It's not just a day off of work, or it's just not a day where the federal offices are closed, so you can't go to the bank or whatever. It's more than that. And I think it would be important if you have young children to talk about the sacrifices that were made, or maybe just play America the Beautiful for them and let Ray Charles do the educating. Who more than self, their country loved, and mercy more than life. And when they say, what does that mean? Well, maybe you can talk about America the Beautiful and those who served and sacrificed for the greater good of this country. If you want to reach the show, it's very easy. You can use the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. Joining us now is someone that's known as the Common Sense Cowboy. And you can find his new book, The Common Sense Cowboy's Guide to Life. Patrick Dorenson, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Well, I wonder what it's like to have a common sense life in 2026. Is it hard?
No, not if you were raised that way. It's you kind of look around and say, is there anybody else that has common sense? And then when you dig down into it, you find, well, guess what?
More people have common sense than the people who are supposed to be running things. And by that, I mean the politicians.
Right.
So if we left this country to the regular folks who do all the living and dying and hard work in this country, we'd probably be a lot better off.
So what happens when, let's say, you are raised with some common sense parents, and then, I don't know, you go off to college, and then things change, and all of a sudden you reject all the things that you may have learned traditionally, and life's not going so great for you. You're off the path. It seems like that happens to a lot of people. What were some rules? And it's so great because you put together the 12 rules for life. What would you advise people to do to, I guess, stray back into that common sense life?
Well, if you were raised that way, and a lot of people were raised that way, you have something to fall back on. And the one thing that I tried to do in my Common Sense Cowboys 12 Rules of Life were to bring up some things that help us develop our code. I think everybody has to have a code. What do you live by? What do you judge your actions against? And if you remember, you know, back being a kid maybe, and bunch of boys say, well, let's go down and throw rocks through the windows of that old abandoned house. Well, it might be old and abandoned, but somebody owns it. So you go down there and you maybe throw rocks through the windows, and, you know, you get caught. Now you're in trouble.
And if you have a core, if you have something to measure your life against, you might not go down and throw the rocks through the windows in the first place, mm-hmm. because you say, that's wrong. And that's one of the basic things. You have to measure your life against things, every decision you make. If you do throw rocks through the window and break the windows, well, guess what? There are consequences. Everything has consequences. And that's one of the things I think we failed to teach generations. It's not that their life has consequences. Oh, it's okay. You know, mommy will take care of it, or daddy will take care of it. And we kind of forgot that every now and then, a little swift swat in the behind might help.
Mm-hmm. Patrick Dorenson's our guest, the Common Sense Cowboy. So let's say you're immature, you make mistakes. Everyone makes these mistakes.
Yep.
How do you redeem yourself after that? Because sometimes with wisdom, you make less mistakes, hopefully. What happens when you regret some of the things that you've done?
Well, you got to pick yourself up. You got to, as the old saying goes, dust yourself off. And you got to look at the one person who can get you out of the mess that you created. And that person looks back at you every
morning in the mirror, yourself. And you got to write yourself. You know, you can get help for certain things. You know, you can get help if you really have some serious issues. But most of the time, it's just looking at yourself and saying, and I've got to fix this. I've got to change. In the book, one of my rules is everything breaks sooner or later, so learn how to fix things. And that's true for everything from, you know, maybe fixing your bicycle when you're young or, you know, fixing something around the house. But it also means fixing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally you break. And you know you gotta fix it. Most of it is if you fall down 10 times, you got to get up 11. And you know I think a lot of it has to go to how you were raised and that code I talked about.
Yep. How does faith play into that? Because in a lot of ways, when you find someone that has faith and they hold it strong and they have the conviction, a deeply held religious belief, it seems mm-hmm. like. Let's say they make less bad decisions. I can put it that way.
Yeah. You know, I think you have to realize there's a much larger power in yourself. And like I say in my rules, don't pray for things. The Almighty is not Amazon or Costco, and faith delivers salvation and comfort, not packages. If you have that basis of faith in the Lord, faith in His Son, then you got
something to
brace you against all the things that get thrown at you. We're not perfect, mm-hmm. and we have to understand that when we do make mistakes, we've got to ask for forgiveness, and we have to pray to do things better the next time. One of the things I pray to every day is in the morning, doing my morning prayer, I'm not one for going to big buildings.
I much prefer to address the Lord from, you know, standing in a pasture or on the back of my horse. And, you know, part of that is I trust in Your plans, Lord.
And by that, you know, Lord's got plans for you. And you have to trust in that. Not say, oh, gosh, you know, Lord, please give me a better job.
Please give me a better salary. Please give me a new car, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what it's all about. And when you have that kind of faith, it allows you to trust.
And have that faith in His plans. And the one thing, too,
I always like to say as a side is, dear Lord, I trust in Your plans because I ain't been too good at planning all these years.
Mm. You know, there's a couple other things that you mentioned in your book, which is fantastic, by the way. If people wanted to find some of your common sense rules, the Common Sense Cowboy's Guide to Life, where can they find it?
They can find it on patrickdorenson.com. They can get it on Amazon. They can get it on Barnes & Noble, anywhere they buy books.
Perfect. I find, too, that my dad was a very handy man when I was younger. Mm-hmm. I was not as wise as I am today. I should have paid closer attention to the things that he was doing. But luckily, he's still with us, so I can call and talk to him when I get stuck and I can't figure out how to fix something. I also find that YouTube, there's a lot of people that hop up on the internet and
yep.
they'll watch a quick tutorial on how to fix things. And, you know, I can tell you that I don't – how much money I saved and luckily didn't waste for simple things I could fix myself. Some people don't even try to fix things anymore. So how are we going to get back on track when it comes to, I guess, learning some of these skills that have been forgotten from generation to generation?
Well, as long as folks like your dad are still around, we ought to take videos of them to show our children and grandchildren, because again, they had less power tools and everything else than we did when they started. And I like to say that if I was ever elected to a high office, what I would do is, one of my first things is every boy and girl who graduates high school, upon graduation, will get a small toolkit. And it'll have a Phillips head screwdriver, a flathead screwdriver, a hammer, a crescent wrench, maybe a small socket set, and a saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a good start, and then learn how to do things. You know, we used to have things like wood shop. We used to have auto shop in a lot of schools, you know, on regular high schools. And, you know, you could learn how to build things. You learn how to fix things. And then we got away from that. And it was like, what are we getting away from it for? Oh, everybody's going to learn Shakespeare. Every kid's going to college. Well, unfortunately, no, they aren't. And do they need to? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I graduated high school with some guys who never went to college, and they were pretty darn successful. They either owned their own auto shop, you know, they became carpenters. They did a lot of things, and they were very successful. Why? Because we need those kind of people. And let's stop thinking that AI is going to fix everything. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Yeah. You know, when I was dating, which is, you know, some time ago, I'm now married to her, of course, but she had a little brother who graduated high school, and for a graduation gift, I got him a toolbox with some very simple tools, exactly what you lined out right there. And I thought, this is great. So anytime I knew someone graduating high school, I said, just put this in your car. One day you'll need this and you'll thank me. And I thought that was the greatest gift you can give to someone that's 18 and about to perhaps leave house for the first time because they don't think to buy those things. That and a good plunger. You need those two things anywhere you go.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned plunger because I'm a devil. I make sure I have the right tools for everything. And my fiance always kids me about, can I like to cook things? And so she goes, gosh, you got a tool for everything. Well, we did have an incident recently where the toilet backed up and she said, honey, do you have a plunger? And guess what? Everything that I had, I go, God dang it, I don't have a plunger. I had to run down to the hardware store to get a plunger. I was here. I'm not following my own advice, but again, You're right. And think what else that does. Mm-hmm. It makes you independent. And people might say, how does having a toolkit, learn how to fix things, make you independent? Because it puts something into your brain that says, I can do this.
Right.
And one day it's fixing a broken toilet or learning how to, you know, fix a flat tire on your bicycle. And the next it gets bigger and bigger things as you move up the ladder of life. That's all that it is. So learn how to fix things.
I know. And it's like that at work, too. If you think about, let's say you're working on a project at your house and something goes wrong. If you were to call someone, have them come out in a day or two and have them look at it, might not be able to fix it. Or you can spend an hour trying to figure it out and you'll get it done so much faster, so much cheaper, and you don't have to wait for someone else. You're going to save time learning these things, and then you'll do it quicker if you have to do it in the future. Next time, you know what to do. So one more time, The Common Sense Cowboy's Guide to Life. Patrick, where can people find the book?
They can find it at patrickdorenson.com or Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Wherever you buy books, it's available.
Great. Patrick Dorenson, I really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. I appreciate it.
I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on this Memorial Day on WORD. Don't go anywhere.
Happy to be with
you. Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With you. And we're a little over halfway through the show. Thank you for all the text messages. Yes, we are live on this Memorial Day. So I am watching the messages come through the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 800-905-0989. Though I did record that last interview that you heard with Patrick, what I find is that not everyone is able to wake up early on a holiday. So I said, you know what? I think it would still be a good conversation, so I don't mind recording this one. But otherwise, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at some of your messages. For example, one person said, 60 years ago, every boy in the seventh grade had to take shop. Every girl had to take home ec. And in eighth grade, we had to take a home elective. Okay. Well, I, in high school, had a home ec class that they made you take, but they didn't have a shop class. That was never offered to me at any given time, which was kind of interesting. The home ec class was, I remember this so clearly. I was so mad because it was like our final was you had to cook a large meal for another staff member at the school. So I said, you know what? I'm Italian. I'm not going to cook one meal. I'm going to cook a big old meal. I mean, we're going to go in there. And I cooked the meatballs from scratch, and I had sides, and I had this and that, and it was great. And it was such a big meal that we actually invited two staff members to it. And, you know, you're in the home ec room, and there's, like, different, stoves and sinks and stuff like that. Everyone's got their own thing. You had to put a dessert together. And I'm looking across the room and I'm like, oh, look at that. Look at these plates. They can't even fill a large dinner plate. They couldn't cook enough. And here I am, Mr. Italian. You know, I'm singing in the background, making up Italian words and thinking I'm really cool. And I do all this stuff. And everyone's like, oh, this is so great. The teachers thought it was wonderful. And then I get my grade and I got dinged because I put the fork on the wrong side. And I said, you got to be kidding me. I did all of this stuff. I went above and beyond everyone else. That meant for nothing because I had the fork on the wrong side. I said, I don't know what kind of dinners you go to, but if the fork's on the wrong side, it's not a bad thing. No one looks at you and says, oh, I'm going to put my nose up at this meal. And I knew immediately this home ec stuff wasn't for me. And I wish there was a shop class, but that was never once offered to me growing up. So thank you for that message. Brought back a grievance from 30 years ago, or whatever it is now. It is Memorial Day, and there's a few things I noticed, and we heard, it's so interesting, the Charlie James clip that was played there, the quick little moment where he was doing a promo for a show. I found that it lines up exactly with what Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said over the weekend. He addressed the U.S. military at West Point, and part of the academy is you have these fresh graduates at West Point, and they're the brightest minds when it comes to military, and what an honor it is to be a part of it. What an honor it is to say you're from West Point. So when you have the defense secretary come and speak to your class, that's a pretty big deal, isn't it? One of the things that Hegseth brought up was what was probably on a lot of their different minds. Let me play.
We're here. Sending you to lead. We're sending you to forge warriors. And we are sending you, perhaps, to war. And you are ready. The world today is at a crossroads, just as it has been for the past 250 years of our great republic. You are stepping into the arena at a time when the stakes could not be higher. Let me be perfectly clear. You are not an army of one. And you are certainly not an army of woke. You are an American army, an army of warriors. 4 years ago, you raised your right hand and said, send me.
You are not an army of woke, embracing this DEI craze and making it very clear where they stand here as a military. And we're not playing this game no more, which is quite frankly needed. And it's unfortunate that it is a necessity in some ways to state the truths when it comes to those sort of things. Also, I thought this was interesting. It was a 98-year-old veteran, David Yoho, I believe his name is, and he was getting emotional during this delivery, and particularly when you're talking to a younger group of people. Let me play.
Tell your friends about this place. Tell your friends about the fact that you stood in the rain to hear us today. Tell the friends about your dedication, and then tell them about us. Tell them about veterans and say to them, we gave up our yesterdays for your tomorrows. And if they say to you then, who did you hear speak these words? Tell them, it was a 16-year-old boy in the heart and mind and body of a 98-year-old veteran of World War II.
Wow. And you hear things like that, and how do you not get emotional? It is Memorial Day, and I talked to my 5-year-old daughter. I said, do you know what Memorial Day is? So I'm going to play that interview coming up in about a half hour, a little after 9 o'clock. If you want to reach me at Ryan Recker, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook, I don't want you to go anywhere. I want you to enjoy the rest of the show, and we're going to talk viruses. I'll tell you what I'm more scared of than Ebola, but we'll have an infection prevention specialist coming up next on WORD. Very
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Happy to be with you. So if you have any questions when we bring our guest on here in a minute, feel free to text it to us. I'll keep an eye open on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. 800-905-0989. Joining us now is an infection prevention specialist, Rain Guest. Mrs. Guest, how are you this morning? And thank you for joining us on Memorial Day.
Yeah, it's a great morning here in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
I know it's even earlier with the time change, so I do appreciate it. And I think sometimes when people hear about Ebola and they hear about the hantavirus and all these different things going on, can I tell you what really scares me right now? And as an infection prevention specialist, ticks scare me. Am I right to say that there's a lot of things out there right now that when we hear it in the news, we may get a fear of it when it may be an irrational fear? I think the things we really need to look out for are things like ticks.
I can understand why you'd be afraid of them. I'm from Idaho, from the mountains of Idaho, so ticks are pretty prevalent up there. So you just learn, like most things, how to check for ticks at the end of the day when you go out in the woods so that you can be proactive in ensuring that they don't have a chance to burrow and cause a problem. So,
right.
You know, like Ebola and hantavirus, there are different steps that you can take to, do the best you can to ensure your safety, kind of like wearing a seatbelt in a car.
So right now, I mean, we have a no travel advisory. If you're from certain areas where Ebola is in an outbreak, then you can't fly into the United States. There's certain precautions that are being made. Is there anything we should be worrying about here in the United States? Should a regular everyday person be concerned they're going to contract Ebola?
Well, in order to contract Ebola, you have to be in contact with Ebola. So my big concern right now is that in America and pretty much across the world, we're taking a very reactive approach to this. You know, we're saying, okay, we're going to do contact tracing, we're going to monitor people, we're going to do these things. What we should be doing is saying, okay, how do we get infected with it? Well, we get infected with it when we're exposed to the germs.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do to kill the germs before we're infected with it? Would you agree? We want to kill what's causing it.
Sure.
So in airports, for example, you know, here in the United States, a lot of airports are using quaternary ammonia disinfectants, which take 10 minutes to kill the germs. You would actually have to spray the product on a surface, let it sit for 10 minutes before it actually kills the germs it says it's going to kill. And nobody does it. It's just this, everybody in the U.S., if anything, they spray and wipe. There's, even during COVID, there was no public guidance on what actually has to be done with these disinfectants for it to kill the germs and for it to be effective against the germs. And what I'd like to see is, you know, we have new disinfectants that are way better than quaternary ammonia products. We patented a hypochlorous acid disinfectant, and hypochlorous acid sounds scary, but it's actually what our white blood cells produce to fight pathogens. So this product kills germs 10 to 30 times faster than quaternary ammonia products. It's hypoallergenic because we actually mimic what our body's immune system is doing to fight pathogens. So I'd like to see public facilities, especially your hotels and your airports, using a product like this so that we can be assured that germs are properly being killed. And hey, put it in 3-ounce containers, pass it out to people on the plane so that they can, in effect, become responsible for their own infection prevention.
Is this stuff like a gel? Like they do, kind of like what you do with the hand sanitizer? It's a liquid?
No. Yeah, it's liquid. So the actual composition is that comes out of our patented device. It's 99.98% water and 0.02% hypochlorous acid. And again, hypochlorous acid is what our body makes to fight pathogens. But we've gone through all the EPA testing. It kills all the really tough pathogens like your MRSA, TB, black mold. Ebola is fairly easy to kill because it's an enveloped virus. It just kills all these pathogens really quick, effectively, and with no negative health or environmental consequences.
I want to go back to something you said there for a moment, because like when I look at commercials and, you know, they kind of talk about the effectiveness of hand soap, for example, and they always do that demonstration on the screen and like, hey, look at all these little germs squiggling around on the screen. And then we put the soap on it and look at 99.9% gone. And there's always like one off to the corner. So they make it look like all these things happen instantaneously. So what you're talking about is it comes in liquid form. Do you spray it like an aerosol or kind of like a pump spray? And do you have to let it sit on there? In Ebola, it takes time it's not an instant thing?
No. So, okay, every pathogen has what we call contact times. And a contact time is the amount of time that a product actually has to sit wet on the surface, including hands, for hand sanitizers. There's a contact time for these products to be effective against the pathogens. And different types of pathogens have different contact times because some are tougher to kill than others. So, for example, the average contact time for a product, you know, that are used in hospitals to be effective against something like MRSA would have to sit on the surface for 10 minutes in order to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
Our product is 100% effective. Yeah, 10 minutes, nobody does it. That's why we have such a huge issue with healthcare-acquired infections. So our product is 100% kill in 1 minute. Now, we've also had it tested for hand sanitizing, right, because there's a different types of tests you do for that. And the shortest amount of time that it actually takes the lab to run the test was 20 seconds. And in 20 seconds, our product had a 7-log reduction in the toughest pathogens. That means 99.99999% kill in under 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't sell our product as a hand sanitizer because the FDA has not allowed hypochlorous acid on their monograph list of approved ingredients, even though our body naturally produces it.
Interesting.
So alcohol-based sanitizers, for example, they don't kill stuff like norovirus. They don't kill C. diff. They don't kill CRS. And you have to let it sit on your hands for minutes before it would actually become effective. It dries out your hands so people don't use it as frequently. There's a lot of gaps in infection prevention due to regulatory issues that we have currently. So we need to revamp that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like all these things you're saying here, I think back about COVID and all the lies of things that were told to me. There's so many different, like, I think about these things now in retrospect, and I'm like, they gave me a false sense of security, some of the things that you're discussing here right now, because they made it sound like, oh, you know what, just real quick, do this little spray and then you're good to go. Now you're making me feel like, oh boy, the world around me is dangerous and it don't matter what I do, it's going to get me. I feel even worse about it now.
Look, there are things that we can all do, okay? And truly washing your hands with soap and water right now is probably the most effective thing that we can do to protect ourselves against Ebola. Because the way these germs infect us is you touch a contaminated surface, especially Ebola, because it's not aerosolized. You're going to touch a contaminated surface and then touch your eyes, nose, or mouth. And that's how we get infected. And the average person touches their face 23 times an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how we get cold, flu, RSV, all of these things. And one of the big lies that was told during COVID is that surfaces don't spread COVID. Well, that's BS. The way they got away with saying that is because, yeah, okay, a surface doesn't get up and walk around and spread COVID. But touching that surface and then touching your eyes, nose, and mouth is absolutely a way COVID can spread.
I'm curious now, just for the sake of time. If people wanted to learn more about this, and I know that you're talking about, you know, some ways to speed up this process, where can they go? What's a good website people can check out?
Come to aeroclean.com, AeroClean.com. Shoot us an email. We have consumer products available. We'd love to get you some so that you can protect yourself.
All right. I think a lot of people are paying closer attention to things like this. Infection prevention specialist, Rain Guest, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
You have a wonderful day, Ryan. Thank you.
You as well. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, I feel like in context, it's good to know the finer details of things like this. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara on WORD. And welcome back. All right. This morning is going by quickly. Thank you for the text messages. One person said, asked the guest about ticks. Here's the thing. I was just giving my take on what I think scares me more than Ebola, hantavirus, things like that. Ticks scare me right now. I've seen some areas where the ticks, I mean, they're bad everywhere, but there's some areas where it's really bad. And that's the last thing I want to do. I don't want my kids to get tick bites. I don't want to get one. I don't want my dog to get tick bites. So that stuff scares me. Another person said, please give the AeroClean website again. Just do a quick search, and I think you'll be able to find it. Or if you do a quick search for Rain Guest, R-A-Y-N-E, and you'll be able to get it that way too. For me, it was more informational than anything else, because I didn't realize that, like, during COVID and some of these other things, especially Ebola now, some of the cleaners that they're using takes 10 minutes to set in. Who is spraying something on a surface and letting it sit for 10 minutes and giving it the full proper wipe down after? I feel like you might do that in your bathroom, like you spray the tile to get the grime and stuff off. But outside of that, like, do you know anyone in any service industry that's letting it soak for 10 minutes, like at a restaurant or airport or whatever? Oh, I don't know. Hotels? Do you think the hotel maids are, like, spraying things down for 10 minutes? Ugh. One person said, spiders are pretty scary also. I guess. I'm not really as concerned with the spiders. I feel like at least with the spiders, you see them and you smush them. Except if you're my daughter, who at school, she has the teacher that says, okay, you don't kill the spider. You collect it and take it outside and let it live. And all right, honey, that's what I'll do. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm smashing every spider I find in this house. Not a question about it. Speaking of my daughter, by the way, since it is Memorial Day, I wanted to talk to her about Memorial Day. I wanted to find ways to talk to my kids about it. And it's different than, you know, talking about any other holiday, because Memorial Day is specifically that. It's a memorial to those that gave their life through service of armed services. And there are a lot of heroes that came before us. And I find that when you talk about this with kids, the idea that you may sign up for something and you may go away to a foreign country and never come back, what does that mean for you personally? What does that mean for the family? What does it mean for all these things? And I find that when you talk to kids about this, you have to be age appropriate, but you should talk to them about it. The sacrifice that some people make for this country. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to record this conversation with my daughter. So that'll be coming up after the break here, after Fox News here, a little after 9. One person said, chickens free roaming will wipe out all of your ticks. That's interesting. My wife, at one point during COVID, said we should get chickens in the backyard. I said, I'm not taking care of one. I got enough stuff to take care of. I don't want to play with no chickens. So no thanks. One person said, the reason ticks scare me, ticks that make humans allergic to red meat. Yeah, I don't want to lose my ability to eat meat too. One person said, lady was selling a product. Yes, I mean, she represented a product, but I thought she brought some really good information. Thank you for that info. We're going to get to Fox News and the very latest of what's going on in the world here today. And I'm just waiting to hear something new about the Iran deal. We know this weekend they rushed back to the White House. So we'll get the very latest from Fox coming up. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. If you want to find me online, at Ryan Recker, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook. Don't go anywhere. It's WORD.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.